You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Now, this time last week, precisely 7 days ago, Josh Nelson was rudely interrupted by a man called Kevin Rudd, but Josh has struck back. Josh, welcome.
Yeah, who's shaking that sauce bottle now, K. Rudd?
Oh, yeah, you showed him. No, we interrupted Josh's film reviews last week because of the announcement on asylum seekers, Papua New Guinea, etc. I do want to hear from you. Do you listen to Josh when you choose a film? Do you read someone in the paper, online, someone you trust? How do you decide the film to see when you go down to the multiplex Friday, Saturday night? What do you trust? The posters? The trailers? Can't trust a trailer. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Two films to talk about. Some of the big tentpole Hollywood action. The first we are going to talk about is Pacific Rim.
Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are cancelling the apocalypse.
Now we got a little, we got a tiny 10-second preview last week from Josh on Pacific Rim, but he's been saving up his venom and bile for at least a week. You really hated this film, didn't you, Josh?
No, I didn't really hate this film. This is one or two rungs above a Transformers. I think my initial response was pretty nasty, but I've calmed. It's been about a month since I've seen this film,
right.
So I've had plenty of time to stew on it, and have people try and talk me around, because I think I'm in the minority here. Most people had fun with this film.
Right.
It is basically just giant robots versus giant alien dinosaurs film. It's pretty.
But hold on, the robots hit the monsters with an oil tanker. It's fantastic. That's what I was told.
Yeah, there's a lot of CGI in this film. It's the brainchild of Guillermo del Toro, who I really liked his previous films, particularly the Hellboy films. I think he's got a nice sort of style.
Yeah, the Hellboy films were fun.
Yeah, he's got a nice style about him. I think where this film missed the mark for me was its use of CGI to a degree. And there's been a lot of criticism, and we've talked about this with Man of Steel and other sort of recent films, that lose their connection with characters. When this film is, or the premise of the robots, which are powered by humans to fight the dinosaurs, is that they're powered by two people who have to enter into sort of
controlled, not powered. They sort of sit inside these massive robots. Is that right?
Well, are they actually powered by the human brain? In some way, it's powered by their collective unconscious. They have to kind of mind meld, basically. This idea of what they call the neural drift, which I think was a really nice concept, nice sort of sci-fi concept to play with. But my problem is that it's there, but they don't do anything with it. So it's basically sort of this flimsy pretext to justify having two people in a robot. And then once we've sort of seen the people lock into this machine, we cut to extended sequences of monsters and robots.
You should see the look of his face when he says monsters and robots. Sort of like spitting out a fly or something.
And that for me was frustrating, because I think that was a missed opportunity. So at least it's got an ounce of intelligence or an ounce of concept. Apparently the original script played with this idea in far greater detail. So at some point in the creative process, this idea got nixed.
Don't say Hollywood ground out all the originality from the scripts. They ain't so, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. The other sad thing about this is Ron Perlman's only in it for about 2.5 minutes. And I know you love your Idris Elba, but he's a bit of a disappointment in this as well. I think he's far more suited to television. The other thing that frustrated me about this, but it's also when it works in its favour, is there's a scene where we get a kind of a flashback, and this is part of that neural drift, because we go into the collective memories, where one of the characters, Rinko Kikuchi, a Japanese actress who is in Babel, and she's really great, we get a flashback of her traumatic memory from childhood when the monsters first started arriving on Earth.
Yes.
And it's filmed in the day, and it's always grounded in her fear and trauma of this monster kind of destroying the sort of Tokyo landscape. And it's a really effective scene. But the problem is, almost all the other battles take place either at night or underwater. So again, there's that moment where you're struggling to kind of see the fight in a context.
Reported to me differently that it's not like the Transformers films where you can't quite see what's happening, that in this film the fights at least are done in quite a wide shot so you can see what they're doing, right or wrong?
It's definitely a step up. Transformers shoots the stuff in really close, so you can't actually tell which is which. It was just the use of darkness. It almost felt like they didn't want you to see the detail in the monsters and the robots. And from a design perspective, there's a real sort of sense of them being homogenous. There wasn't a lot of attempt to distinguish each of the monsters and each of the robots as defined, kind of neatly defined characters like you'd get in, say, the Godzilla films with Mothra, Gojira, etc.
Someone's watched a few Godzilla films. Look, while we're talking about the design of the robots, let's have listen to Guillermo. How do you say his name?
I say Guillermo del Toro, but I'm not sure.
Guillermo del Toro. Anyway, the director. Let's have a little listen to him talking about the robots. Before you do, think about whether or not Josh talking about a film, Margaret and David talking about a film. Remember Neil Gillette, who used to write for The Age? All those people, Lee Patch in The Herald Sun. Who do you listen to when you choose a film, or do you just trust your own instincts? Do you reckon you can decode a trailer well enough to tell if you're going to like a film? 1300 222 774. While you're thinking, have a listen to the director of Pacific Rim talk about what he was trying to do with the design of these massive robots.
We really wanted to design these mechas to be robots that would make us excited when we were 10 or 12 years old. I didn't want to reference any other work of fiction in the design of the Jaegers. I didn't want them to look like a certain mecha or to look like a certain piece of anime or another movie. I wanted them to be all their own.
The Jaegers, of course, they are the robots. Quite a few people texting in just saying that this is a remake of Evangelions, which is a Japanese anime film that I haven't heard of. Neon Evangelion, have you heard of those?
Yeah, I've heard of them. I haven't seen them, though.
Okay, so clearly they've taken a lot from that because I can see three or four of you texting in on that. Someone wants to know what CGI is. Computer-generated images?
That's it. Yeah, imagery, yep.
I'm curious, too, if people think they can decode trailers, because I actually reckon I'm pretty good at decoding trailers. But then again, if you've seen a trailer for something like Magic Mike, you'd never have gone and seen the film. And I thought that was actually a really interesting, stimulating film.
Or you would have gone to see the film, but for completely different reasons to what the film was actually about.
Which is exactly what happened when I saw Magic Mike. Yeah, exactly. And there were a whole lot of teenage girls watching the film. And I'm not sure that they and I saw the same film, but still, that's good. Dara's call from Ballarat. Hey, Dara.
Oh, yeah, how you doing, Raph?
Good.
Yeah, decoding trailers, I've been watching movies for a long time, and I think you actually get good at it. You do mess up every now and then, like Sucker Punch was kind of a bizarre trailer that didn't reflect the movie, but I thought the Pacific Rim, I liked the trailer, and actually the movie really surprised me. It had a lot more to it than I, you know, gave it credit for when I first went in, because I was looking for mindless entertainment, and it actually had quite a few twists and turns and more plot development than I expected, and more than Transformers in some ways.
Well, I mean, Transformers is pretty much what you see is what you get there, I think. Yeah. Can you think of any trailers that have surprised you, any other ones that have totally confounded or confused what the film is about?
Not really, except Sucker Punch was the only one that really, I saw the trailer and I went in and it was totally a different movie.
Yeah.
Besides that, I think I'm pretty good at actually decoding them, because you decode the trailer and know the actors, and you don't have many actors that actually change their genre too much, so you kind of know what to get out of it in some ways. But Pacific Rim, the one thing I did like about it was that front-end segment, they really covered a lot of plot before the even movie started. In fact, I was surprised when the movie started, because I didn't realize that it hadn't.
Right, okay. So there's a lot of plot exposition in the beginning, is there?
Oh, there's a massive amount.
Right.
More than any other movie I've been to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Thanks, Dara.
They condense it quite well. I mean, I love the response, and in the broader kind of critical response to this film, it's been fun. And I completely wear that. And I did have fun with moments of it, but it's a $200 million film with a $0 script. And that for me was kind of frustrating, because there was the potential for it to be even better. And that, I guess, is why I have some sort of frustration with it.
A few of your texts. Apparently the actors that portray the Australians are shocking. Are the accents bad?
Terrible. One's Cockney English and the others, I think, South African, and they carry around a British bulldog, but they're Australian, so go figure.
It's totally bizarre, isn't it? So many Australians in Hollywood, you'd think they could get a few to do the accents properly. And then you have films like the Osama Bin Laden.
Half the team is Australians.
Half of them are Australians, and yet they have perfect American accents. Who knows? And I always listened to Josh. They listened in the past tense, I have to say. This is a text from Claire. Even when he was my film and philosophy lecturer, and I had no idea what he was saying. Well, Claire, hopefully we keep him on the straight and narrow here. Look, we are going to have another chat about a film. I've got to confess, I saw the trailer for This Is the End, and it looked completely horrible. It just looked like an absolute disaster of a film. I wouldn't go near it with a 10-foot barge pole. We'll find out what Josh thought of it in just a moment.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is here with me talking film. His blog is filmology.com. That's with a PH. Just a few of your texts and then we'll get on to This Is the End. I would have seen the Liberace movie if I hadn't seen the trailer. It put me right off. That's from Joe. I'm interested in seeing Michael Douglas's Liberace and Matt Damon as his almost husband. Another text. David agrees with me. Margaret tends to go for way out movies. That's from Jeanette. You know who you like when you're watching that. And I'm sorry, was there a hidden message to Magic Mike? That's from V in Aspendale. I think we saw different films, didn't we, V? No, look, I thought Magic Mike had a lot actually to say about American society and how desperate many people in that society are. But we'll leave our discussion for Magic Mike for another day.
Oh, no commodification of masculinity talk and GFC.
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, I think we did that, didn't we?
We did do that. We did it well.
Now, look, this film looks truly terrible, I have to say. It's called This Is the End. Before we hear the trailer, just a quick explanation, the sort of voices they're going to hear, Josh. What's the brief setup for the film?
The brief setup is we have a bunch of Hollywood actors playing themselves, in inverted commas. Seth Rogen and Jay Baruchel, two guys. The film starts off as a sort of a Stoner Bogan film.
Emma Watson makes a guest appearance.
She does, and these guys get dragged to a party at James Franco's house. So the first opening scene is this massive party, all these kind of recognisable celebrities from Rihanna to Michael Cera, all doing quite crazy, you know, A-lister things. And the Judgment Day takes place, the biblical judgment day where the righteous get taken up to heaven, and of course no one at the party does because they're all Hollywood actors.
Okay, let's have a little listen to the trailer and then we'll find out how truly dire it really was.
The sheriff's office is urging people to stay in their homes right now.
Looting, rioting.
For all we know, the Lakers could have just won, and that's the reason why all this is happening.
I think it's the apocalypse.
It's all in here.
And he opened the bottomless pit.
The sinkhole? Every single time I turn on the news, sinkhole in South America, a bunch of South Americans getting sucked into the ground.
Sinkhole de Mayo.
Son, we should just stay in here, fortify this bitch, and take inventory of all the food we have.
We got 12 bottles of water, 56 beers, Nutella, CT Crunch, a Milky Way.
Can I have that Milky Way?
No, you can't have the Milky Way. It's my special food. I like it.
I want some of the Milky Way.
I'd be pretty bummed if I don't at least get a bite of the Milky Way.
What you want, son?
It sounds like everything bad about Hollywood wrapped up in one little film, Josh, but maybe I'm not the right market.
I did want a Milky Way walking out of the film, though, after that scene. I didn't see the trailer for this film, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. From even people who liked this film, so that gives you a hint what I'm going to say next, said pretty much the entire film gets played out in trailers. And that's, I think, happening more and more these days, where we get the chronological plot in, you know, 2.5 hours or 2 hours condensed into 3 minutes. Basically,
it says a lot about the content if you can condense it into a trailer, doesn't it?
Well, it does indeed. Yeah. Look, I had a lot of fun with the first 20 or 30 minutes in this, when it's at Franco's place, when the actors are playing off their personas, particularly Michael Cera, who's, you know, the sort of the sweet, nice guy persona in films. And here he's sort of doing lines of coke, slapping women. It's sort of this crazy sort of, you know, the bestial Michael Cera. And then when the apocalypse happens and we get the scenario reduces to six characters locked in James Franco's house, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, and Jonah Hill, who you heard there, it just becomes a kind of one-trick pony, and that is dick and rape jokes.
Oh,
and
nice. Classy.
And, you know, I think it's... I was tempted walking out of this film to say it's homophobic. I don't think it's extremely homophobic in terms of nastiness and deliberately setting out to be derogatory, but it certainly is homo-anxious because all the humour seems to be derived around, you know, who's going to, you know, rape who or who's going to touch, yeah, you know, right, abuse who.
And it's heaven forbid all boys locked in a room together.
And that was kind of frustrating. And the
jokes
got more and more extreme. So there's a cameo towards the end of the film, which really crossed the line. So even people who were going with it for the first hour and a half, that was a breaking point for some people there, which is a shame because I think if it had stuck with the original premise and done something interesting with that celebrity persona, rather than just reducing it to sort of frat boy humour, maybe there would have been, you know, it would have been a kind of a film worthy of rewatching. But look, it really, yeah. I mean,
is it making money? Do you know?
It's doing really well. Yeah, so right. You know, what do I know? Who listens to critics anyway, right?
Okay. Look, but I don't know if it's does that reanimate your belief in the human spirit or completely trash it and stomp on it and take it out and put it in the rubbish bin. I don't know. You tell me. I do want to know, though, how you choose your films, what you make of trailers, what you make of reviewers. You're just the critic, man.
The funny thing with trailers, though, this is where, I mean, one of the films you love and keep talking about, Avatar. When they first released the trailer for that, they pitched the romance and it was from the director of Titanic. So they were playing up the Pocahontas aspect.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
It enraged the fanboys and everyone was sort of the backlash on social media. So then they released an action-packed trailer and they changed it to the director of Aliens and Terminator. So that shows you what they can kind of do to twist and, you know, to target their demographics. So there you go.
Hey, man, I'm still recovering from coming out of 3D world in Avatar. Everything's looked kind of bland and black and white and dull since then. It's
the terrible. Matrix has you.
Are there reviewers? I'm not asking you to name them, but do you read other reviewers? Do you take recommendations from other reviewers? You can't see everything.
Yep.
So are there places you go to decide what you are going to watch and what you aren't?
Yeah, look, it depends. I tend not to look at reviews before I've seen a film because I don't want to kind of, you know, let that sway my opinion. But if there's a film I'm really fascinated in or that's kind of dividing opinion, then I'll sort of seek out stuff overseas. I know you're a big fan of, is it Peter Bradshaw?
Yeah, I love him in The Guardian. You Although I him. Know that I know that in particular, so he writes for The Guardian, I know if there's any English humour, I will completely disagree with him. All the other films, though, that he might review. Do you go to other reviewers, though, once you've seen a film and find yourself consistently agreeing with one or more of them?
No.
Okay. Look, the films we were talking about, you won't struggle to see either of them at your local multiplex. One is This Is the End. That was the spoof, satire, etc. Pacific Rim was the special effects extravaganza. Josh will be back next week. His blog is filmology.com with a PH. Thanks, Josh.
Cheers.